Hey guys, Wyatt Claypool here, and he invited me on his channel last night for a great live stream. Clyde came in. You should check it out as we watch the by-election results come in live. It was a good stream, good time had by all. You'll have to forgive me if I'm smiling like a Cheshire cat. I've wanted to rock his intro for a while, and I finally had an excuse to do so. Somebody asked me in the chat last night how I decide whether or not I'm going to use intro music, and it comes down to whether the intro music is going to overpower what it is I say in the intro. And that's it. That's the only logic that goes into it. I am Frank Vaughn. Typical intro. It is 11:11 a.m. Filming late today. August 19th, 2025. And here we go. And the first thing we're going to do today, as I'm always looking for new ways to bring new information to the public, is we're going to start a weather segment. Let's check out Southern Ontario. It looks like a total loss as fire has claimed the entire region. I have no idea what these numbers are. They look like normal summertime numbers, but the actual visual conveys a much worse message. Let's see what's happening on the West Coast. There is, it looks like, some safe spots in the foothills and in the mountains, but Vancouver, Lethbridge, Medicine Hat, Regina, total loss. On screen is a live cam of the weather, according to all of the national broadcasters. This is Canada right now. You might want to get out if you're still alive at all. I don't think we're going to do a weather segment anymore. It's way too scary. All right, we're done having fun. Let's get serious. This is the results of the Battle River Crowfoot election. Obviously, Pierre Poilievre trounced it. Now, there's a lot of strength here for the CPC, and there's a lot of strength for the CPC status quo, and I'm going to tell you why. 80.4%, in spite of a media effort to push Bonnie Critchley as though she could somehow overcome and beat Poilievre. An interesting spin that they did, pulling in a commendable 10%. I mean, let's take nothing away. She's a veteran. She worked really hard. But it was a little bit absurd, some of the narratives that were coming out. And I want to highlight, before we even talk about anything else, that 99.65% of the votes are in, and it was a 58.82% turnout, which is actually remarkably high for a by-election. Like, that's, so there was energy behind the Conservatives. There was a lot of turnout to get Poilievre back in office. So this idea that Alberta would not support, or this riding would not support Poilievre because he was parachuted in from Ontario, it carries no water. I'm sure people are going to try and spin the fact that he lost 2% of the popular vote as some kind of thing. The other thing is the 50 million ballot project or whatever, election interference, whatever they're talking about, had very little effect. I mean, a lot of these people didn't even show up to vote for themselves. A bunch got 2 votes. Some got 4. Some got 6. Probably their whole family showed up to vote. But what sucks about this is every single person in the riding was issued a blank ballot, and they all had to write in the candidate's name. Now, there's a lot of people who don't know how to spell Poilievre's last name. P-O-I-L-I-E-V-R-E. It's still a spelling error. You know an autocorrect? It doesn't know Poilievre. It knows Trudeau. It knows all these other political names, but for some reason it hasn't been updated to actually reflect the leader of the opposition in this country. I see that as a bit of a problem. But the other things that come out of this. First off, United Party of Canada, Grant Abraham. I honestly hoped he would get more here because this is a riding that was so safe for Conservative candidates. There was no chance the Liberals, there was no chance the NDP, and we'll cover the NDP next, was going to pick up votes here. The argument for not splitting the vote couldn't be effectively applied here. And you would think that if Albertans in general wanted to signal displeasure, maybe they would do it through this by-election. And it just didn't happen, 1.5%. The other surprising thing is the Liberal candidate got 2,100 votes versus the NDP, which got 1,000 votes. My thesis is, in Alberta, under Nenshi, because you have, and I know provincial politics is not the same as federal politics, but they often run together in people's minds. I think the NDP in Alberta is incredibly weak. Polling seems to show that, what polling we do have. And Nenshi is far from a popular leader. They couldn't have picked a bigger loser. And I think Daniel Smith would have to work really hard to lose to the NDP. But Albertans really don't like liberals. And I find it shocking that the NDP, even though it's the federal NDP, pulled less than half the support the liberals did. I think that's incredible. The other one, the other story that comes out of this is Jonathan Bridges. No offense, there's a lot of good people who actually believe in the PPC. I still think there's a lot of good people there. I also think there's a lot of mental cases that are there. I also believe that Maxime Bernier is not a leader. He's not interested in winning elections. He's not interested in creating a real party. He's interested in keeping himself funded and the expense account topped up. That's all he's interested in. But once again, 0.3% of the vote. Any argument the PPC has as being a conservative alternative was once again torpedoed and destroyed by this election. Again, this is a safe riding. Anybody that voted in this election had the option of safely voting for someone else, whether it's Grant Abraham, whether it's the PPC, and they didn't. 0.3%, 137 votes. Look, the PPC is dead in the water. It's in the way. It's wasted space. It occupies a position where something real could have been built from 2019 to now. But they made every decision possible to torpedo any electoral prospects that they actually had. It's bad management. It's bad vision. Or, and this is what I actually think, I'm beginning to think, it's just, it's deliberate. They deliberately torpedo their own growth. As long as the money's coming in, no one's interested in actually, other than the candidates who might be running who actually care, Bernie's not interested in being prime minister, folks. He doesn't want to lead the country. It's too much work. Just like building a real political party would be too much work. PPC is dead in the water. Are we going to have to wait until Max is 65 and he retires and just gets out of the way? There could be something else formulating in Canada. The issue is, Scheer was an unpopular leader with a lot of people. Erin O'Toole was mortally unpopular with a lot of people. Polyev's the chosen one. This is the conservative right in Canada has been summoning the Polyev leadership for over a decade. And we're here. And I think he's going to survive the leadership review very effectively and handily. I don't see why the Conservative Party of Canada would want to pull him down. It doesn't make any sense from their perspective. I'm not even giving you my perspective. I'm talking about the pragmatics of internal CPC machinations. Who comes next after Polyev that could actually stand a chance of winning? And there's nobody. There's nobody. So things are the way they are. The right in this country is united under the CPC at the federal level, whether we like it or not. And the last election proved it. 0.7% for the PPC, a loss of 85% of their vote share without any introspection. A leadership review that once again was just a single candidate leadership review. Like, I don't even know if you can call it a candidate. It was a reaffirmation of the Kim Jong-un of Canadian politics with 60-odd percent from my memory, not even bothering to participate. So I think you can dispense with that. This signals that the status quo in Canada is very strong. Another thing I said during the live stream, I think it was 11 o'clock at night, and CBC actually had a front page article about Pierre Polyev's victory. Even calling his lead commanding, it takes a conservative candidate to get to 80% of the popular vote for CBC to use such descriptors. But I said that a lot can change in 8 hours between 11 o'clock and the morning news cycle. And if you really wanted to know CBC's bias, you would tune back in tomorrow morning. And you know what happened? This happened. Polyev has disappeared from the front page, even though Polyev's by-election win sets the table for his return to parliament this fall, is the third most popular article. The whole front page is dedicated to something else. That's CBC's bias. And now, that's interesting too. Polyev wins this by-election. It's a big victory. It's a continuation of the status quo. But his triumph is muted because, once again, Parliament's not in session and won't be for another 40-plus days. Your government, which has led Canada into isolation, is still ruling, even though Parliament has been dispensed with once again. Canada is being managed through the Governor General's office and through the appointed government, which is not the same as Parliament itself. Now, I want to discuss a couple tweets that I've made that are resonating. Canada is completely isolated. Most of our people have no idea. Leaf Singh says, you should isolate yourself from the refrigerator, big boy. And I say, you're right. Good advice, wherever it comes from, is something that you should take, even if it's from your haters. I actually have an admiration for Wyatt Claypool's haters. They're some of the best quality haters out there. They're very dedicated, but they continually underestimate Wyatt's resolve. My haters don't underestimate my resolve. They know that it all rolls off me, and I'll even take some practical advice every now and again. The next one that I wrote, which is just beginning to circulate, is I have no idea how Canadians, the fortunate heirs to one of the most bountiful geographies on the planet, became such poor stewards of national power. Our government works overtime to make us an international pariah, and our only saving grace is that barely anyone notices. We're like the crazy person on the street. You can hear them yelling and screaming in the background, but you just keep walking along doing your business. And you want to know how bad the situation is, I can give it to you in an image. Now, before I get into the meaning of this picture for Canadians, I just want to highlight Maloney. I've never seen somebody look so consistently unimpressed in my entire life. The entire time that she was in Washington, she looked like she wanted to be anywhere else doing anything else other than sitting beside these people. She probably can't believe that she is lumped in with these actors. But at any rate, this is such a telling picture. These are the vassal states of the American Empire. Now, if you thought, as I thought there was a chance, that Europe might actually nominate itself for even more pain in allegiance with Canada and China, and that the world might actually come together to pull the American Empire down, it hasn't happened. They've all decided to limit the pain and supplicate themselves yet again for another 3.5 years, at least. Canada's not here. Canada was not invited. Canada's not a G7 nation. Canada's a G9 nation, an honorary member in the club. Carney is mismanaging us into total isolation. There's no other word for it. It's not just that we're heading into a period of decline. We're becoming an international pariah state. We signaled to the world under Mark Carney and with Polyev's blessing that we needed to engage with Europe and we needed to engage with China, not in addition to, but to decrease our dependency on the American market, to replace the Americans, which we cannot do. The gods, or God himself, whatever you follow, I'm trying to speak evolution, nature, creation, whatever you want to call it. The gods have bestowed upon us one of the most blessed geographies in the history of the planet with proximity to another blessed piece of geography known as the United States. We share the North American continent, a powerhouse. We have energy, we have minerals, we have food, everything we need. We got water. It's a beautiful place. But for some reason, we have decided to engage in Amerophobia. It's not just Trump phobia, it's phobia of the Americans. We have this high-minded view that we're somehow superior and better because of healthcare that leaves people waiting for 2 years so that they can die. I watched a video. We should actually watch it at some point. I watched a video of a woman. She's got something wrong in her head, like some kind of growth is happening inside of her brain. And she needs an MRI to determine whether or not she's got a brain tumor. She's on a waiting list until 2026, well into 2026. By that time, how much will that brain tumor have progressed? She'll be further ahead to go to the United States or go to some alternative clinic than wait on Canadian healthcare, which is often just a right to die. We have this view of ourselves that we're not entitled to. We signaled to Europe that we would depend on them. And then Europe turned around and cut a deal with Donald Trump worth $1.5 trillion, agreeing to buy U.S. energy. We're not getting any of that money because of our stupid leadership. We're not getting it. The Americans are going to get it. Now they're all here because Trump brought Putin to Alaska. And what a visit it actually was. It's not just that the presidents of the two nations came together and talked, but Vladimir met the head of the Alaskan Orthodox Church, and he got a chance to honor fallen Soviet soldiers that are buried in Alaska, and received a full F-35 escort of his plane back into Russian airspace. Full honors. It was beautiful. I have this vision where Russia is not treated as our enemy. And I say our. It's a North American vision. It's not a Canadian vision, because our political leadership and our people are just so brainwashed to I want us to get rich. I want us to prosper. I want us to have nations. I want us to do well. And a lot of people don't want that. At least they don't want it on sensible terms. The Russian people are not our enemy. The Russian government's not our enemy. They're not even our natural enemy. They're our natural ally if we just change our perspective. These leaders, representing European interests, have fallen victim to Russophobia. It's a phobia that goes back to the end of the Second World War, and further, if you really want to get into it. We have imported this toxic mindset as regards Russia. And as these actor leaders of their nations, they're all actors. They're not qualified. Macron's not some kind of childhood genius. Zelensky, dressed in some very questionable clothes and made some questionable music videos for a leader of a national thing. We just got over Trudeau being a drama teacher. These people, through mass immigration, through socialism, through their policies, through biting their nose off in spite of their face, through destroying their relationship with Russia because of their phobias, where they're cutting themselves off from some of the best energy they've ever had, and they can't produce that energy themselves. Unlike North America, we got energy. We can take care of ourselves. Europe can't. They're vassal states. The center of the empire, sorry, the center of the civilization has shifted from Europe to North America. And for some reason in 2025, we haven't fully woke up to that reality yet. The center of the world civilization or global politics, shifted from the Atlantic to the Pacific a long time ago. And one could argue it's shifting to the Arctic now, which creates a whole different bird's eye view of the geopolitics of global affairs. And Russia becomes a natural ally and partner in that new geopolitics, as Europe reduces itself to the status of a vassal states, which is what they're doing with the United States. Now, back to the point. Europe's very weak, but they're stronger than we are in Canada. We saddled ourselves to a sinking ship over this so-called trade war with the United States. There was nothing unreasonable about what President Trump has done. Nothing. Tariffs, trade, reciprocal, punitive, nothing. It's all perfectly reasonable. Canada, as we've said on this channel, charges the world a lot of money to do business here. There's no reason why the Americans should disadvantage themselves, especially. Someone commented last night that Trump went belligerent, so we went belligerent back. That's not how it worked. The Trudeau administration was belligerent to Donald Trump since before he was elected the first time. We've been spitting in their face as we live under their protection. People say, nobody would invade Canada. Why do we need protection? The reason nobody would invade Canada is because the United States exists. They would not allow it. And we show no appreciation. We show no appreciation for the trade surplus, where we get hundreds of billions of dollars in greenbacks and surplus that we can spend wherever we want in the world. And we were left alone to do so. We denuded our military, more concerned about painting rainbow sidewalks on base than we were with creating killers. We were allowed to do all this stuff if we just kept our mouth shut. But we didn't keep our mouth shut, because we are the smallest in terms of power, with the biggest chip on our shoulders, and we're so arrogant and hubristic about our identity that we have smote our own ruin. We weren't even invited. Canada is a member of NATO. We have been supplying Ukraine with arms. We've denuded our own military of what little it had and shipped it to Ukraine. We've taken tax dollars that we don't even have, and we've given it to corrupt Ukrainian officials. We've supported this megadeth A megadeath is defined by over a million deaths. It's a megadeath. It's a horrible thing. I mean, come on, people. I know a lot of you don't have kids, but many of you do. Sons and daughters dying for a war that didn't even need to happen. That every effort was made by the Russians to avoid this war. And we lie to ourselves about the big evil Russians about to take over Europe. They don't have the manpower for that. They got the same demographic problem we all do. And every single life lost in Ukraine is another blow to Western civilization. People say, I was talking to somebody this morning and they said, you know, if we were importing a 500,000 Europeans a year, it wouldn't be such a big deal. We wouldn't have all of this tension, all this cultural tension, and we wouldn't have all these trucks killing people on the highways and all the issues that we have around mass immigration, the total loss of our culture. There aren't 500,000 Europeans a year to bring here. We stopped having babies, and that problem extends into Russia. Every life lost in Ukraine is a tragedy. As we try to hold on to the greatest civilization that the world has ever seen. But back to Canada being in isolation. We weren't invited. We'll be lucky if we get a phone call from a secondary aide. Europe has abandoned us. The Chinese have slapped a 75% tariff on our canola. And they're, I believe they're our number one customer. They're not... The Chinese are rapidly trying to figure out how they're going to do business with the United States. Donald Trump is smart. He's got to get out of this Ukraine situation. He's got to get back in business with Russia because the only way to truly check China is to remove, to break the Russians and the Chinese have never been natural allies. If we want to check China, we need Russia to do it. There's no reason for the animosity. There's only money to be made and stability for the world to be won if we can figure this out. But Canada, the Chinese have abandoned us. We're doing a trade war with them. Our politicians, for whatever reason, are not doing the elbows up nonsense. The Europeans have abandoned us. We stand alone in our commitment to fight this thing out with the Americans to the end of days, to protect milk, to protect our cartels, and sacrifice everything else at the same time. Canada is one of the most mismanaged places on the face of the earth, and unfortunately, the majority of the electorate can't see it. They're ignorant, and they're very prideful in their ignorance. The world wants, the world needs peace. There's enough problems in the Middle East to try to sort out. We need to get rid of these peripheral conflicts. The headline is, Ukrainian support for war effort collapses. This is a poll done by Gallup, so you can believe it if you're a lover of mainstream sources. 69% say they favor a negotiated end, compared with 24% who support continuing to fight until victory. There is no victory to be had for the Ukrainian people. They have lost their sons, some of their daughters, but it's majoritively the deaths are being, the corpses are being supplied by the men. And it's tragic because they have a country to rebuild and they don't have the hands for it. And as the mainstream media always manages to go to Kyiv and find people who will say that the Russians are bad and they only give you the one side of the story. The vast majority of the Ukrainian people are sick of dying. They're sick of watching their children die. They're sick of living in poor, squalid conditions. They're sick of a war that was easily avoided. The truth of the matter is neither Russia nor the Ukrainian people needed to have this war. The West, European, I shouldn't even say the West. This was a European brainchild. This war was the creation of a European-centered NATO. It is time to put Europe in their place. And if Canada isn't smart enough to go along with it, if Canada is hypnotized into believing that Trump is the great Satan, the enemy of the people, and that Trump and America are the same thing, I am only so proud to oppose, and I will be the last person in this nation to fold on that conviction. We are fools missing the opportunity of a, I would say lifetime, but it's not. This is like a once in a thousand year opportunity. It doesn't come along all the time. And we are blessed to have been born here and have the opportunity to seize it. And our hubris and our arrogance may miss us the opportunity. I hope, sincerely, that we are dragged kicking and screaming into this new paradigm. And I hope it's successful because it'll be good for all of us, whether you know it or not. And once again, I'm Frank Vaughn. That one felt like it was a little bit rushed, but I think it was good all the same. Please feel free to like, share, and comment. I like your comments. It's getting hard to read them all, but I still try. And if you like the channel, please consider supporting it via the website. I'm not monetized, and in spite of the lobbying that once again happened to me last night by Wyatt Claypool and Clyde Do Something and all the well-meaning people who actually do so much to help me out, because we are doing this the hard way. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the people who actually share their audiences and try to build up other people. I want to do the same. But as I was saying last night, how's the guy with 30,000 subscribers somehow the draw? The chat was crazy. Everybody was happy I was there, including Wyatt and Clyde and everybody else. And it's like, I'm the little guy. I don't have much to share right now, but I have a very dedicated audience. And I can't express how much I appreciate it. You guys built this. I'm just the guy on the camera. Without you, I'm nothing. So give yourself a pat on the back. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.